All right, let's start with an admission of sorts. Sometimes I post a title for a podcast with a clear understanding that it contains, well, let's just say, a bit of hyperbole, you know, in efforts to get people to listen or watch that episode. But today, I will say, in all honesty, there is absolutely no hyperbole involved. There is a single word found in the Old Testament that if we don't come to grips with what it means, it literally has the power to lead to the end of us all. So join me for today's episode as I answer the question, what is the most dangerous word in the Bible? Welcome to the Sky Pilot Podcast that explores questions of faith, spirituality, and religion. I'm Dan Matthews, and I don't have all the answers, but I do enjoy the questions. Welcome to the podcast where every question is an invitation into a spiritual quest, and you're invited along for the journey. So let me begin with a story. 30 plus years ago, our son, Daniel, learned to ride a bike. We were living on a cul-de-sac in Florida, and it was perfect for that. Safe, no through traffic to worry about, with a bunch of kids who all lived on the cul-de-sac were about the same age. Now, several of the kids learned to ride their bikes within about 2 days of each other, which lit a fire under our son. Suddenly, Daniel was a kid laser-focused on wanting to learn to ride. So we went out and we bought him a suitable bike to replace whatever he had at the time. It was a tricycle or something like that. It was a tiny little bike that looked, well, it just looked ridiculous because of its size, but it was the perfect size for him. And sure enough, within a day or two, he had also learned to ride the bike. Immediately, it was his favorite pastime. The kids would come home from school, change into play clothes, and suddenly there would be four or five bicycles going round and round on our cul-de-sac. It was really quite a wonderful thing, well, except for one thing. Our son had a tendency to, when he wanted water or needed to go to the bathroom or was called in for dinner, he'd just drop his bicycle wherever he was and walk away, which meant that it was often in the middle of the road. Eventually, we got him to learn to put it away. Well, sort of. When he wanted to put it away, he would always put it in the garage.
Oh, well done. Sounds like a good lad, that son of yours.
Yes, he is. But in this case, well, no matter how hard we tried to tell him, he couldn't seem to grasp the idea that you put your bike away in the garage does not mean leave it lying on the ground. Yes, it's in the garage, but lying on the ground directly in front of the car. I almost drove over it several times as I was leaving, and I did bump into it and drag it a foot or two, probably twice. And then finally the day came, and I ran over it. Absolutely crushed it, flat as a pancake. As it turned out, Daniel was in the car with me when it happened. I heard the noise. I had no idea what it was until I got out of the car to investigate, and there, beneath the car, was a little bicycle that was no longer three-dimensional. I got back in the car and thought, okay, I have failed this job as a parent to help him learn this, but this will be a learning experience for him. Daniel, you left your bike in front of the car again. I ran into it. I drove over it. It's crushed flat. It cannot be fixed. Now, I was ready. I expected grief. I expected tears. And what he said was, "It's okay. You can buy me another." Evidently, as a parent, I had failed in more ways than I had thought. I had successfully taught him that everything is disposable. Everything is replaceable. Now, we will return to this story in just a moment, but first, a word from our sponsor.
We don't have a sponsor.
No, you're right. Not a monetary sponsor, but more like a sponsor of everything.
I'm still not following.
God Quark. God is our sponsor. God is everyone's sponsor. So now, a word from our sponsor.
Oh my, could you have possibly made that any more confusing?
Nope, don't think so. So let's look at the very beginning of the Bible. God, in the process of forming creation out of nothing, decided to make humanity. Then God said, and this is directly from Scripture, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, there isn't anything particularly new here. I imagine that every listener and viewer is aware of this story, but there's an interesting word, a powerful word. It's used twice, and the word is dominion. Let us make humans in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air. Now, let's get to the point now. If dominion means what a lot of Christians claim it means, then we are in bad shape. If dominion truly means that we have been given all of creation to use and abuse as we see fit, again, I think we are in serious trouble. So let's go back for a moment to the bicycle story, because I think there are some parallels to be found here. When we gave Daniel that bicycle, we did indeed give it to him to own and to use as his own. But though he owned the bike, there was never an understanding on our part that we as parents no longer cared about the treatment of the bike because it now belonged to him. Quite to the contrary, we gave him the bike to make use of, to enjoy, and to take care of. Had Daniel, in a real sense, been given dominion by us over his bicycle? Oh, absolutely. Since we gave Daniel the gift, did we feel a vested interest in the gift that we had given him? Oh, that's a definite yes as well. Strangely, the word dominion is also accompanied by the word subdue. The word translated as subdue into English is perhaps best understood in its noun form, and it means a footstool, something you put your foot on. The verb form of that word can absolutely have the meaning of vanquishing an enemy. The image of the word is meant to invoke in this situation to defeat an enemy and then place your foot upon his throat, breaking him into submission or killing him, whichever is needed. I am at this point reminded of a scene from a television show from my youth. Have you ever seen the show Lost in Space?
Oh, yes, I love that show.
Oh, yeah, I should have thought that you would. Well, in one episode, they come across a humanoid robot that has been created with one purpose alone, destruction. So the robot goes along and it repeats its mantra again and again as it's walking across the planet that it is now sharing with the cast from Lost in Space.
Rush, kill, destroy, crush. Kill. Destroy. Crush. Kill. Destroy.
It seems to me that one interpretation of the scripture that we have read is that we are charged with a similar duty as that of this android. Now, the word dominion can have a similar meaning, but dominion can also have an alternative meaning as well, which means to walk in the midst of. It can mean to take responsibility for something by becoming a part of the thing for which you are responsible. So let's just think for a moment. When God created everything and gave humanity responsibility for this creation, are we to think that our intended role was to vanquish creation like it is an evil enemy, or to embrace God's creation and care for it? You know, like a treasured gift. Now, the truth is, the word definitions alone cannot tell us what God intended. I can say the word is sometimes used in one way, and you might counter that it is clearly used also in another way at times. So it seems to me the only way to understand what God truly intended is to look at the context of the passage. Did God intend us to vanquish creation or to cherish it, to care for it, to treasure it? So right after God gives humanity dominion, there's an interesting passage in which I think God pretty clearly affirms humanity's intended role in relationship with creation. Immediately following the passage that I read earlier, we get the following. God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything he had made, and indeed, it was very good. God did indeed give humanity dominion over creation, but we should read the entire passage before we understand that as meaning we have been given carte blanche to do whatever we like with God's creation. God formed all of creation, then gave humanity dominion, and Scripture said, at that point, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. I'd like to believe at this point that no further explanation is necessary. And that's all for today. We have indeed been given dominion over all of creation, but before we get too full of ourselves and believe that it is ours to use, abuse, and pollute without consequence, we should be sure to read the whole passage. God formed creation. God gave us responsibility. Then God looked upon all that had been created and said, "It is very good." Sometimes at the end of a podcast, I invite debate, and I'll just say, this is not one of those times. If you believe that creation is ours to use and abuse as we see fit, I will just say without equivocation, you're wrong. And I pray to God there are not too many people with the same opinion, because too much is riding upon this. On your spiritual journey, may you ask questions, seek answers, and boldly go wherever the quest takes you. Thanks for joining us here today and being part of the SkyPilot Faith Quest community. This is a great place to ask questions you wouldn't feel comfortable or safe asking in other places. And remember, the sign of a strong faith, solid religion, or healthy spiritual journey is not certainty, but that you keep asking questions.